Shalom Aleichem Mishpacha, this is Todd and Tamara with Paradigm Shift, and again, as always, we want to give all glory to our father of our forefathers, of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, our father in the heaven of heavens, Yahweh, Yahuwah Elohim, and to our king who sits at his right hand waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool, Yeshua HaMashiach.
Hallelujah, Shalom Aleichem. Last time we were talking about Antiochus 9-11, and we're going to get into more detail on this one. As usual, there's just so much we're trying to fit in a 25-minute segment, and we are trying to, you know, reach out to everyone and give them opportunity to feel the importance of understanding exactly what the celestial objects are doing above our heads, because this is part of a paradigm shift. Like Todd has said, we are the only civilization in time who has never had relationship with the sun, the moon, and the stars, and what's going on above our heads. And what we want to do here, a paradigm shift, is break our programming. And the dragon bloodline, the dragon priests and kings, have definitely programmed us to keep our noses down, to not be looking up. And we think that the profound scripture quote where he says, keep looking up for your salvation draws nigh, it's not just about, you know, some man riding in on a horse in the clouds. It literally has to do with the comets coming in. It literally has to do with asteroids and with the sun and the moon and the stars and the constellations and all these things that are, there's a whole world out there. And a whole
universe.
Yes. And it, we
universe.
Are so, you know,
we are
driven
so
to be in our little cubicles.
That's right.
Whatever our cubicle looks like, and so we've really.
And when we start paying attention to the heavenly things, the earthly matters that we entwine our life, that our lives are so entwined in on a daily basis, the fleshly matters, they become small things, things that are of no consequence. The things that these evil kings are doing over the earth, poisoning our food, poisoning our air, poisoning our water, poisoning our kids' minds and their educational system.
We're coming out of the poisoning of our own minds.
And our economics and their unequal wage and measure system that they set up, these banker kings, led by the Queen of England, the House of Windsor, who is a Germanic house, centered in London, with its 1 square mile city, and the city inside of a city, with its own state powers, just like the other two other cities on the earth, the Vatican, their spiritual priestly head, which they now choose the popes with their new Jesuit, that they put in there as the new pope, and we have a double duality, white and black pope sitting there still to this day for the first time in history. We have two popes sitting there. And then the third city state they have is their military arm, which they have taken over and used to expand the British Empire of old and enhance it so they can continue to collectivize the nations under a new one world order, new world order of a religion and banking, economic, of your belly and your mind and the sciences and what you can know and what you can't look at and what you can't say in your media. And
to sum it all up, time. They are going to they are taking over the whole understanding of time. He
right.
rules the world, will use time to do so. Time is going to be part of that great delusion. And what we have been being driven to do and what these sundials are all about is that we literally can measure time ourselves. Like we have said, as the body begins to take responsibility again for the times, signs, and seasons of our people, no longer will we go to the pagans expecting them to settle matters between us, above us, or below us. But and for the first time, Todd and I are saying, thus saith Yahuwah, that this is how serious this is, because he wants his kings and priests ruling over their own times and their own seasons instead of bowing down before what the dragon priests have been telling us forever. These are times of freedom for us.
That's right. And for you newbies out there that are beginners in this, or you maybe you've heard hearing this show for the first time on the radio, the reason why the time we're focused on time so much is because when the Roman Catholic Church became the Roman Catholic Church from the Roman Empire, they were set on changing the times and seasons, and they did so. And in order to get that time change to occur and onto their worship days of Christmas, Easter, Halloween,
birthdays,
St. Patrick's Day, and all the rest of them, these calendar days that are according to their eight Sabbat satanic pagan days, which was of the pantheon of worship when Yeshua first came. When he came and he was resurrected and he went back up to our Father, he destroyed all the understanding of what a day is, what a month is, what a year is, according to the times and seasons of the pagan pantheons. So then they put on sheep's clothing and became the Roman Catholic Church, and then they murdered 24 to 82 million, even estimates as high as 120, 140 million people during the Dark Ages, a period of 800 to 900 years approximately. I could be off on that a little bit, give or take a couple hundred years. But the point was they didn't allow us to read, write, or have any understanding of higher things other than the dirt that was on the ground so we could keep tilling it and paying our homage to the king.
And to get down to the basics of why we're on this time thing is because Father, our Elohim, the one that's in the scriptures who has written that personal letter to us, has told us that there are appointed times, Moedim, that he will meet with us on this earth.
That's right.
And we really care, and we should care, and we should be working diligently to figure out when that meeting is. That, like we said in the last show, it's important to meet with the king. This is not a simple matter that we should relegate or delegate to anybody else to do for us. Instead, we need to dig and do it for ourselves. And he is actually offering himself to us right now. He's offering all kinds of clues and opening all kinds of understanding that we haven't had forever. And that is why the dragon kings, the Romans, decided to change time. And that wasn't the first time that time had been changed.
No.
In fact, we have studies that suggest that say that in Solomon's time, they began to follow the moon and use the moon to count their days. And then Hezekiah's time restored the calendar back, or the count, I'm sorry, I don't even like the word calendar, the count back to the understanding of the greater light. And then, boom, we move forward to Antiochus, who literally wiped out the Yahudim. Anybody who would not submit to counting by the moon was killed, hunted down, and killed. And the people who remained are the ones who submitted to counting the understanding the feast days and everything by the moon.
Soon,
so that's why we call this Antiochus's 9/11. You were there on 9/11. What did that feel like to you? How big was that to you? Well, time is even bigger.
That's right. And you know, just to show you how important that our banker kings who produce this fiat money is collapsing the global system, the economy of the global system on our heads right now, and doing it with wars so they can continue to make more money at our suffering and at our expense of all the people of the world. In 2011, they put out many articles on the new world calendar, the world calendar that they are working to change, change the all of time across the planet too. And it is going to be based on a four quarter 91 day season, and ironically enough, four seasons of 91 days each of it makes a 364 day calendar, where they will have an adjustment every 5 to 6 years of adding a week. But it's to simplify the calendar of every year, just like on the Enochian calendar that we've been talking about, pre-flood calendar. Every day, the feast dates and the Shabbats will be on the same days. The Gregorian calendar rotates through. So they want to have a more precise system in order to control and manipulate people. So this world calendar in 2011, they had discussions in SpaceDaily.com. They had it in ScientificAmerican.com. They had it with the Cato Institute, which is just another branch of their many think tanks that they form from their Tavistock control of over the planet. You should look those things things up if you don't understand those, like the Bilderberg Group, Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations. So the Cato Institute is a very important institute for consideration. So they are taking this very seriously, and this is 2011. Now, and then when you research this, this same calendar was proposed back with Gerald Ford was talking about it when he was president. Congress was addressing it. So they first started introducing this particular calendar, this New World Calendar. We believe it's going to be their ultimate One World Calendar. They started introducing this about 50, 60 years ago.
And there's no irony here, Mishpacha, that the New World Calendar is an exact replica of what Father is starting to show his people, the time that actually he wants us to be meeting on.
Yeah.
That it's a calendar, you know, the Hanukkah calendar, which, you know, we weren't even talking about those calendars in the beginning. We were just talking about measuring the sun and the moon and the stars and understanding what they were doing. And then you guys, our listeners, began to bombard us with all these emails and show us that what we were actually speaking was written down in Enoch. And so we began to study all of that. And we began to, you know, see how it was fitting in with the actual physical relationship that Abba was giving us with the spheres, the celestial spheres above us. That's what we were going through and began. And then after a month and a half or so of studying and trying to put it all together, we began to present it to you, and you guys wrote in, as so many of you are on this, there's so many good right. emails coming in.
So another one of these articles was even in Russian Pravda, you know, and a part of this new world calendar, you can look it up in Wikipedia, it's called the World Calendar, and it gives you a breakdown of these things as well. But as a part of this, they're going to eliminate all the time zones on the Earth. It's further confirmation
yes.
what we were saying about measuring the greater light of the day
yes.
over Jerusalem, beginning in Jerusalem with the equal day and night, because that's his prime meridian. And that in itself, what we were saying is, and what we were coming to the belief of is that the day begins over the Earth, though the entire Earth begins with sunrise over Jerusalem, and it ends when sunrise begins again over Jerusalem after the Earth is turned for 24 hours. And during a day over the entire Earth, there's 12 hours a day and there's 12 hours a night. We don't want anyone to misconstrue us into thinking that we are saying that you only count the day part or the 12 hours as consideration as a calendar day, because that's not the case. It's an entire period of 24 hours.
The day and the evening, mm-hmm. and then the night.
Mm-hmm. And so that's what they're going to do, and that's the reason why they set up Universal Time, which is tied to their prime meridian of New Jerusalem, London, as they call it. And they have, you know, all the banking powers of the earth are controlled from that one square mile city there at the city of London as well. But they want to eliminate all time zones on the planet so that and also the international dateline that we've been talking about that causes so much confusion, you know, of, well, what day is it here once you cross the dateline down, like our brothers down in New Zealand and Australia. They're very close to that down there. So what they actually tell us is that they have the prime meridian at London, and then on the opposite side of the world is when the date change occurs. So what they're going to do is they're amalgamating into one and centering it all on London instead of Jerusalem. And what this tells us, Mishpacha, is that the times and seasons of the Gentiles over instead of Jerusalem are at hand and are about to end.
That's right. So just try to picture what we're describing. We are describing a literal war between mm-hmm. the Dragon Kings and Yahweh's people.
Mm-hmm.
The understanding, we're same calendar, same understanding of how time moves, but all what the Dragon Kings have done is that they've extended night over the planet. They've made us late again and again, either too late or too early for our master's appointed times. And all of it is regarding the greater light, the sun. And so literally two camps are beginning to form.
That's right. They are forming. Yeah, they
yes,
are forming.
Yes.
He's got the formation of this 50, 60-year push by the globalists in order to go to this corrupted, what we would call, for the sake of just using the words, a corrupted Enoch calendar. Because the reason why it's corrupted is because they're going to start it at midnight as far as the year goes. They're going to start it again at their winter solstice period, right in the middle of the night of the year instead of at the spring in over Jerusalem when he tells us to begin his calendar.
And so what I would like to do now is I want to just, we have gotten some really good emails and people who are saying things better than we can say them. It's what we're trying to say and it's what we're trying to present, but some of our listeners have actually done a better job. And then there's, and they've actually sent us some really neat little factoids or interesting things that they've discovered. And this is why we value you. We value other minds who are not so involved in themselves that they can't reach out and explore new territory and help us in our exploration of it so that all of us can do the shifting of paradigms together. And if you want to be part of those new minds that are, you know, willing to do all this stuff, if you have something you want to email us.
Keep looking up.
Yeah, to keep looking up. Or if you would like to get our newsletter or if you would like to ask us for links or anything like that, you can do so at petranch@dishmail.net or Todd or Tamara at HebrewNation.net. Those are the ways that you can contact us. But this email came in from one of our listeners, and she just said some really profound things that we wanted to share. One of the first sentences is she said, "All I really possess is His Ruach HaKodesh by His grace in moments of shalom," which means peace, "about matters that are questionable." Now, isn't that what each one of us is reaching for and each one of us knows, especially if we've been having this type of relationship with Him for any period of time? It's that small, still voice, that quiet voice that guides us and leads us and tells us to walk. This is the way, walk in it, as you'll see later on in her email. Now, she pointed out that she was wanting to encourage us in the studies that we've been doing, and she pointed out that on the 5th of Abib was the day that Yehoshua sent scouts in to survey Jericho and the surrounding territory. Now, remember, we just did a paradigm shift show on the moon and how Jericho, the city of the moon, was the first city that was actually taken down by our people. Father passed judgment there first.
Go ahead.
Oh, and the thing that she noticed was that show we put out, that broadcast on the moon, that was the very next day. It was Abib 6. And she said, "And I heard in your voices and in the Ruach HaKodesh the distress and labor and the service you two are giving to Yahuwah's people." And she says, "Just as Yehoshua sent out scouts to survey Jericho and the surrounding territory, Yahshua, our mediator and sent one, sent you two to scout out this territory of the stronghold of the moon worship, and no doubt have encountered strong resistance from those residents who feel secure behind those walls they think will keep them secure, but actually hinder them from drawing nearer to Abba, Yahuwah, before calamity hits the city." We had no idea that we were putting that show out on the day after Yehoshua sent in the two scouts to scout out Jericho, and yet that show was about the judgment passed on Jericho, the city of the moon. And then she goes on to say that she's so thankful that Yahuwah woke her up 14 years ago and helped her to stop trusting in institutionalized religious practices and traditions, and to start to search His word with only His Ruach HaKodesh to lead correct discipline and humble her. Yahuwah has made it easier to let go of the false paradigms I once trusted too much in and was often disappointed by their failure to comfort, heal, and restore. And then she talks about there was a person in her life who did the lunar Sabbath. They never posed a threat to the way she followed the seventh day Saturday, because scripturally the argument for lunar Sabbath didn't have two or three witnesses establishing the matter, nor did there come any conviction by Abba's Ruach to reconsider the matter. Then she says, "However, the move to the Hanukkian calendar, as I studied, was like flipping on a light switch in what I would imagine to be Space Mountain in Disneyland, seeing all of the dips, snares, and drops that were once veiled in darkness as to what they truly are, intended to flood your senses by the unexpected and to invite fear in and trust in the roller coaster. The light made the truth simple to identify and the lies and the makers of them easier to spot." Todd and I have been experiencing, and Henry, we have been experiencing this exact same thing that she's speaking of. She said, "Shalom instantly took me by the hand and said, 'This is the way, walk in it.' Though I did swim through thoughts of how I will get through the next year when the Shabbat is so different from those even that few that keep the Torah on the Hebrew calendar in parentheses are used to, the warnings and preparations over the years of what is coming in the world economy, trials, tribulations, the birth pangs of Mashiach, came in quick response to those fears. The amazing thing is that what once would have defined my fears of the great tribulation has become my response to overcome my fears in consenting, a word I choose very deliberately, to Yahuwah's restoration of His count or His calendar through the Hanukkian writings." I don't quite understand how all this works, but somehow for now, Yahweh is doing that for me. The birth pangs are painful, but they are true and confirm the truth of what we long for. The birth of the sons of Elohim and Mashiach Yahushua was promised to return, restore, to restore, rule, and reign in Torah. Now, the reason I read that is just because she is eloquently putting exactly the path that has been going on for us in the past
many
several
others,
months.
Yeah.
And us.
The satellites of
others,
our people
yes.
around the world, we get to be a data collection center, and just like NASA sends out its satellites to measure the sun, moon, and stars and the earth, our people are digging fervently in desire to return to our King, and then they send us in all this data that comes in from all over the globe, and we are sifting through it as fast as we possibly can, and we love it. It's tiring, it's good and hard digging work so that we can understand his times and seasons.
We are hunting Abba now, down.
And what let,
we aren't going to just let him disappear into the wilderness.
So the judgment upon the city, the moon of Jericho, occurred first when he brought us to the land. Then he planted his axis Monday, that staff that with the carduces, the snakes, which that axis Monday, if you are new to that term, you need to look that up and read that and understand that the mountains in scripture that he's talking about that will all be leveled, all of them, that is all of man's calendars on the planet. And each one of us are the portals. We are the keys, the gates that either open up the gates of hell or the windows of heaven on earth. And it's all dependent upon the times and seasons that are ruled or given to us, or we allow to be prostrated over us. Now, and so you had the Jericho with the city of the moon being judged first. So that led us with after this our dear sister's email to us. That led me to think about our father, the Ruach, said, "Well, when did the moon come back and possibly take its revenge upon us?" Well, that was at the same time of Hezekiah, the falling of the northern tribes of Israel, and the leader of the Assyrian army that came and got destroyed. In Yehuda, the southern kingdom at that time, was, how do you say Sennacherib. And just the first few letters of his name, Sin, relates to the Sumerian moon god of Sin. In Sumerian, the moon means Sin. And so it's interesting that the judgment that came back upon our people because of the moon worship that was begun by the intermixing of Solomon and ended again with Hezekiah reestablishing the greater light of the rule of the day over the earth in his times and seasons in Hezekiah's day. Now, every calendar on earth, again, Mishpacha, I want to remind you, every calendar on earth changed at that time period during Hezekiah's time period. And in fact, their second witness to the change was the moon. Because on the metonic cycle of the moon, that's a 19-year cycle where the moon begins to repeat its patterns. It was 19 years after the fall of the northern kingdom of Israel when all the counters on the earth changed. So you had a change on the sundial at Hezekiah's time. That was the first witness. The second witness was the course of the moon on the metatonic cycle of what had actually occurred, because the speed of the earth around the sun looks to have changed during Hezekiah's time. And it gave us the longer year, so it slowed down going around the sun. And as I was saying in the last show, Revelation tells us it indicates that we're going to go back to a 360-day year because he's going to shorten the time, and it's going to be as in the days of Noah when we had a 360-day year. And up until this change of calendars across the globe from the flood until Hezekiah's time, and 19 years after when the whole world changed their calendars, every nation on earth kept a 360-day calendar. So were they just ignorant, stupid, and they didn't have the technology we had? No, they had very simple understanding of just having a single sundial, having sundials all over the planet.
They had a relationship
they did not have an internet in order to communicate instantly.
Yeah, they had a relationship with the heavens. And now I'm just going to add in right where you put that, is that we had another brother send us another little interesting factoid that in this idea of shortening of the time, we were doing a study with whatever brethren will do it with us about this 18.3477 number being the shortening of the time. Well, this brother, he just wrote to us today, and he just happened to show us that if you do the gematria on that number, the 1 and the 8 equal brother, and the 3477 come out to the word Gatza, which is our last name. And he just put that out there as just with a big smiley face. But it's kind of amazing to see that these kind of things could actually be coming together and converging, and that so many of us could be interested in this at the same time.
That's right. And he gets that 18.3477 number because if you multiply the current 365 by 3.5 years, 42 months, 1260 days, you come out to a number that doesn't equal the amount of time in Revelation it says that we will have for our years and our months. It comes out to 1,278.3477 days versus 1,260. So you subtract those two and you get to 18.3477. But we'll be going over in more detail over this study. I want to check all the mathematical figures and about the Earth speed around the sun and relationship to Hezekiah, Yehoshua, and all the rest.
And so, guys, remember, have fun with this. We want to have fun with you and keep looking up.
Hallelujah.
You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet.